What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27, while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Oh boy, is that Slingshot?
Yeah. Slingshot season. Hey, let's run it.
Hey. Grace hit me like, boom, can't miss. No. Guy with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade. I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been.
Welcome to Slingshot Nation Live, everybody. Glad to be here with you. Derek is in the house. Derek, how you doing, man?
We're feeling great today.
Jack?
I'm good, too.
Jack is a little rusty. We were out of town last week. Are you good, Jack?
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
One of these days, we're going to hit it, and it's just going to be perfect. We were out of town last week and running around like madmen, and we spent most of the day here in the studio trying to figure out what we were going to talk to you fine folks about. So game planning and all that stuff. And to be honest with you, we're still not sure. No, I'm just kidding. But last week we were at NRB, National Religious Broadcasting Convention. Did I get that right?
I have no idea. I can never get it right. It's so simple, but I never remember it.
Yeah, it was funny because we did the last episode of The Counter at NRB in the morning, and Joseph Z, we said we're at NRB, which stands for National. And he points to Alan as like he goes religious, and he points to me. And I go brain dead. I was like, I couldn't remember what it stood for. It's broadcasting. We went to the NRB convention last year. Last year was my first year there. And then we went again this year, and it was really awesome. I think our social media manager posted some pictures on the community section for YouTube. And you can also, if you follow me at Tony, I think it's Tony Merkel Official on Instagram. If you follow me there, you can see more pictures, because I think YouTube only allows you to post 10. Instagram allows you to post 20. But I posted pictures of my week last week there. I had a great time. It was kind of on the tiring level, all the talking and things like that. What did you think about NRB, Derek?
Oh man, it's so cool. I love like Destiny Image, just some great authors, really spirit-filled believers. It was a great time to be around everybody and like really see them. And when we do interviews, it's like people come and go so quickly. Sometimes you don't really get to engage with them, but seeing like Ben Brewer for like 3-4 days, Ben, we love you. It was just really fun, man. It was a great experience and excited for next year too. I think God had ordained us to be together, the ones that were there, and there's more to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Jack, what did you think of it this year?
That was fantastic, as usual. It's a lot of fun. I mean, we get to just, you know, enjoy each other's company and meet new people and, you know, all that stuff. So
there was some new people for sure. The the coolest part of the week, and I think you guys know where I'm going to go with this. For me, I mean, I got to meet like Perry Stone, and that was really cool. He's a local guy, and I'd love to bring him here in studio one day. I think him and I could have a fantastic supernatural conversation. But the coolest part of the week for me was I found out Jack Hibbs was there. And Jack Hibbs recently came out with a video on his YouTube channel. I believe it was called The Coming Demonic Invasion, I believe is what he called it, Jack.
Yes.
And it was so good. It was so good. But also kind of outside his wheelhouse, from what I understand. It's not your typical Jack Hibbs content. He's a pastor out of California. And I just was like, man, I would love to talk to that guy one day. And then turns out he was at NRB, and we went over to where he had his station at, and he had just got done doing a broadcast. And he comes out of the booth area, and I kind of walk right over to him. I don't know if there's anybody else around, but I just was like, I'm not the kind of person that kind of jumps in on things like that. I'm usually like behind the scenes, just kind of like fade back and usually miss my opportunity to talk to somebody because I don't want to be that guy. But I was like, I got to talk to him. And so I went up to him and I put my hand out and I go to shake his hand, and he shakes my hand, and he holds onto my hand and he looks me in the eyes and he goes, "You look familiar." And I was like,
the victory. The victory.
Jack Hibbs recognizes moi.
I love it.
I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So maybe he saw like one of my crazy videos and he's like, stay away from that guy. Burn that into my memory. I never want to talk to that man right there.
That's so funny.
It was really cool. We exchanged information with his assistant, and hopefully I can get him on at least for a remote recording one day. Mm-hmm. I think he and I could have a fantastic conversation. I think I'll scare him a little bit. I think just, you know, because I kind of go really down the supernatural realm a lot, you know? And so I feel like maybe he won't want to do that as heavily as I would, but I think it'd be a good conversation.
It'd be great. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So last week at NRB, we were doing all that stuff. And we also were able to be part of a meeting.
Mm.
And it's not the first meeting. It's actually the three of us. It's our second meeting. And we've been kind of shielded as far as talking about it publicly, mainly because I wasn't sure what I could and couldn't say. And I'm still trying to work that out. So I'm just definitely being a little guarded on how I talk about things, because I don't want to give certain things away, as far as there's a lot of people who need to stay protected in this process. But we were part of a meeting twice now that was revealing information on what's coming this year. We met with, and I have it written down here so I don't mess it up. We are meeting and in communication with a group of Christians working intelligence platforms. And that's how I specifically want to state it, because I want it to be not deceptive, but also not giving away who they are. And so I'm getting distracted. Okay. The guys are texting in a group thread right now, and they're distracting the snot out of me. So thanks for that, fellas. Thanks for that. Keep the jokes to yourselves during a live broadcast, okay? But we were part of this group meeting twice now, and they are their whole thing is that they're trying to better prepare Christian leaders, pastors, people like myself on what's coming and how to understand it so that it doesn't have to equal a great falling away from the faith. That's their big heart. And if any of you want to jump in on this, that'd be great. But that's how the basic premise is with this group, is that they have sources in a lot of different areas throughout culture, society, governmental, and they are very big on this idea that they're trying to prepare pastors so that when people come to them with questions, they have appropriate answers that don't leave people falling away from the faith. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not a matter of like if it happens, it's a matter of when it happens. And so that's why it's so important to be ahead of this, even theologically, in understanding the narratives that most likely are going to get pushed out on believers.
Yeah.
Because if you're not prepared and you don't love Jesus with all your heart, man, it's going to get tough.
That's the biggest thing right there. Mm-hmm. And that's the messaging that I'll be preaching for a long time now. It's just going to be, there's going to be a lot of, I don't know where that came from, but we got gremlins in the system, but there's going to be a lot of deception and things coming forward that we're going to need to make sure that we keep the main focus. And as humanity, culture, society goes through these storms, we keep our eyes set on Christ, because that's like our pastor was preaching yesterday. I mean, it's like, if we can just keep our eyes on him, he'll be able to grab us and pull us out of the water after we start sinking. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we got, some turbulent times ahead. And I'll say this, I've been in communication with this group for, probably like a year now. And, they had told me a very specific date that there was going to be an announcement that we're not alone in the universe by our president. That date, after they told me, started circulating around online. So that checked some boxes. Mm-hmm. And then they actually bumped that date up in our first meeting. And they said, it's probably not going to be, which... if people are online, they see it going around. People were saying July 8th, but it's probably not going to be July 8th, but probably closer to in the May area. They didn't have a specific date. We left that first meeting, and that was when Barack Obama, which we'll get into, we were in the meeting when the news dropped that Obama was on that podcast and said that aliens are real. And so it was like, whoa, you know? And you know what's kind of crazy is that more bombs dropped during our second meeting.
Yeah.
So during the second meeting, like I said, these guys have been telling us what their intel was. And I want to specify and make sure I have this written down too, that they were clear they could not give classified information, but pointed us to open source intelligence with a heavy focus on the narratives surrounding the phenomena and who key players are within those narratives. So I wanted to make sure I stressed that we are not getting access to, you know, classified information or anything like that. This is just their deep intelligence, and they're sourcing things and pushing us in certain directions to verify what their claims are. And so we had that meeting. The first meeting a couple of weeks ago, and the news dropped with Obama and that, you know, aliens are real. That was eye-opening. And then going into our second meeting is when the video dropped of, let's do this. As we're talking about this, let's go into these videos. So why don't we play the initial video here with Obama. Now this video dropped. It was wild. We were in the first meeting. Is that correct in saying that? Do you guys remember?
I think you're right.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure, but I think you're right.
Okay. So let's just say while we were in the meeting, because I know when we walked out is when we saw it. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and play that.
Are aliens real?
They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in what is it?
Area 51.
Area 51. There's no underground facility, unless there's this enormous conspiracy, and they hid it from the president of the United States.
What was the first question you wanted answered when you became president?
Where are the aliens?
Where are the aliens?
All right, so that was the video that dropped when we left our first meeting. And what was that, like 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago?
A little less, yeah.
Okay. And so we go into NRB, and while we're out there, there was another meeting called, and many leaders were mm-hmm. there. And in this meeting, going into it, news dropped of basically Trump's response to that video. And so, Jack, if you could cue that up and get that ready to play, it says a lot with what Trump said in his response, for sure.
Barack Obama said that aliens are real. Have you seen any evidence of non-human visitors to Earth?
Well, he gave classified information. Is that supposed to be done? But, you know,
so aliens are real?
Well, I don't know if they're real or not. I can tell you he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that. He made a big mistake. He took it out of classified information. No, I don't have an opinion on it. I never talk about it. A lot of people do. A lot of people believe it. Do you believe it, Peter?
The president can declassify anything that he wants to. Well, so if you want to make an announcement.
I may get him out of trouble by declassifying.
We know Barack Obama said.
So the fact that he said that he released classified information, I mean, what do you make of that?
It's crazy because we know for sure that they have access to all these things. And we know that there's certain protocols for presidents to not say certain things. So basically Trump is just confirming what Obama said is true.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's wild. He doesn't actually go and say, oh no, this is, he made it up. He's crazy. He's like, oh, he's not supposed to say that. It's top secret. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, clearly there's a level of documentation, and we'll get to that in a second, but clearly there's a level of documentation that has been in existence stating that certain things are an actual phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that what Obama stated was classified information. And if you want to take everything for at the word of the, you know, what, how it came out, they said, so aliens are real then. And he said, well, I don't know about that, but I know he released classified information. So does that mean that Trump never personally got to sit down and interview an alien? Or, you know, like at what extent of knowledge does he have? Does he have access to classified documents? And therefore, until he's sitting in front of one, he doesn't want to say that he doesn't know they're real? Or was it one of those things where he didn't know what to say because he was planning on coming out and saying that aliens were real? And it's like somebody was whispering. The same sources that mm-hmm. we have are probably talking to, or the sources that we personally have, the information that they're gathering as far as intel goes, that's going around not just to them. And so the way I look at this situation is that word got to Obama or that camp, and they decided to jump the frog and get in line above Trump and release that information. So Trump is just basically following something that they're choosing to release beforehand. Mm-hmm. Now, so that could be one way to look at it, but there's also something that I think it should be strongly considered, which is that this was an organized release from both parties. And there's going to be this whole thing called the UAP files that's going to be dropping. And when this information starts coming out, I believe it's going to be designed and pushed to a level that is going to make the Epstein files become something that is an afterthought. Mm. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, absolutely. And you know that this is like the agenda is to always like change narratives. So we know that like Epstein, and we know that the Clintons are actually going to be in the hearing this week on the 26th and 27th. Hillary and Bill have to like go before the Oversight Committee and talk
closed door though, right?
Closed door.
So secretive.
But we know that most likely something's going to leak. Let's see what happens. Like if there is alien news that day, we'll know that it's because we're trying to like to make us look left while they're doing stuff on the right. And so we have to just pay attention this week and see kind of what happens. That wouldn't be surprised if there was more leaks coming out this week to kind of turn our attention away from what the Clintons are testifying about and if there's any truth to that. Because you know that congressmen that are going to be in the Oversight Committee are going to be talking about what they heard, and they're going to need to defer that information in some other direction.
So I do think that it's a shame that it's behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say I'm surprised, right?
Right.
It's just the same old thing. Do we think anything's going to come from that? Probably not. But maybe. I don't know. I mean, we're living in a bizarre world as it is.
Yeah, so, I mean, Prince Andrew was arrested. So, I mean, who knows?
Right.
I mean, he's been kind of disgraced anyway
right.
over the past several years.
He's an easy one.
Yeah.
He's an easy one. Like, I think he was even stripped of his title as Prince, like, last year or something like that.
Right.
So, like, I mean, it's going to be easy to throw the low-hanging fruit under the bus and try to just sweep this under the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is a real world where this was an organized release to muddy waters. But also, we got to make sure we don't look at things with just one lens to look for one definition on things. It can be multifaceted. It could serve many different purposes, and there can be many different goals at play here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you do something, you're not guaranteed the result, the desired result. But if you have a list of desired results and you're trying to hit certain things, and I feel like sweeping the Epstein files and that type of conversation under the carpet is a very high goal for many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can we do that? Right. And so the pop culture tongue in cheek thing is, oh, aliens, you know, but that's literally what it's literally what we're seeing play out right now, whether that's their motivation or not, which I think it'd be kind of silly to say that it didn't cross their mind,
mm-hmm.
but it's literally what we're seeing play out right now.
Right.
You look like you have something to say.
Yeah. So it's really crazy when we were talking to these gentlemen, but they connected the Epstein files with UAP and they're not separate things. And I think that's what people also need to understand is like the Epstein files are really linked into this UAP phenomenon altogether. And so there is this unknown aspect of the public doesn't understand to this trafficking that's going on, and then also this occult undertone with it,
yeah.
and then also with this UAP phenomenon, that it's all like interlinked.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to try their best to separate those links so yep. we don't understand that they're actually linked together.
You're absolutely right. There's different, when you say UAP phenomena,
mm-hmm.
It encompasses more than just the craft. It encompasses more than entities. There's a human trafficking element to this. There is a very dark occultic angle to this.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they can separate things and make them their own individual categories, the more they can compartmentalize your consciousness and how you view things and how you think of it. And they can actually control how you view the topic.
Right.
The reality is there is a huge chapter and piece of dark occultic things when it comes to the UAP stuff that does not get tapped a lot by the mainstream media, mm-hmm. by different organizations, that goes way, way back. Wait, we're coming up on 100 years now. You have we're coming up on 100 years now. It's probably like 20 years away from Roswell, roughly. But it's like Crowley had a lot to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole thing that doesn't get talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just look at the occultic angle and history of UAPs, it says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it says things that they may not want you to say.
Mm-hmm.
So there's other information that we have been given. And I'm going to say something here that I don't know if it's true or not. I want to say that right now, and I know people will say, you know, maybe 6 months from now, I might say, you said and it didn't. And it's like, I'm telling you right now, I don't know. I know what I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this happens, maybe, and maybe this information is already out there in the ether, you know, I don't know. You know I haven't been given anything that is classified. But supposedly, there is a commemorative coin that is being minted, and it has Trump Donald and Melania on it. And there's a suggestion, a supposed suggestion, that they're going to have a UFO on the coin behind them, kind of stamping him as the disclosure president. Am I remembering that correctly?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah.
So people can timestamp that and, you know, choose to do what they want with it. But that's something that I feel like we're allowed to say and talk about that might, you know, I don't know. I don't even know if how they're viewing what I'm saying right now, you know, mm-hmm. how they feel about it. But it's been a long process of, you know, about a year of my communications with these people. One person has been here. I think it was sometime last year. You were working here when, mm-hmm. yeah. So, there's a lot of information to siphon through. When it comes to the human trafficking angle of this, it does tie into the UAP phenomena, but not 100%. It's not like they go hand in hand. It's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So if I'm doing this over here, this nefarious stuff over here, and you're doing this nefarious stuff over here, hey, maybe I can use a piece of your industry for what I want to do and on a mutual understanding of, you know, you say not, I say not.
Right.
Yeah. So I think part of one of the things that they were saying was like a narrative that could come out and why these two pair hand in hand so well, the UAP disclosure and human trafficking, is because you have what will be so disgusting and so, you know, reviled by everyone in common, that are common folk, right? When you see what's happening in the Epstein files and you understand that it's all real, everything that was talked about before is real, and it's worse than what you think it is.
It is.
And when the UAP phenomenon and the UFO disclosure and all the alien disclosure comes down and there is alien life forms outside of what we have on Earth, outside of, you know, knowing, you know, that there's a spiritual realm, right? Those are going to be presented as ultimate cosmic beings, people who, these beings that have, you know, been watching us for millennia, have seen the ills of our society, the things that we have done wrong, and are here to correct it. And that was part of what was discussed as what could possibly be the lead up to, there is no more resistance from us as Christians. There is no more real, you know, authority from God to what is moral and what is just. These righteous beings that have come to Earth have been, you know, hidden behind the scenes and have been, you know, refrained from being in the public eye, are now coming to the forefront to say, these files are real and we want to help you to be better, you know?
Yeah. So you're saying that the idea of the Epstein files would be used as a reason for these beings to manifest?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be considered the higher authority on the matter.
Moral authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have to say about that, Derek?
I mean, it is moving in a direct... What will disclosure really look like? Like, we already have Obama saying that aliens are real.
Mm-hmm.
No one made a fuss about it, really. Right? Like, we made a fuss because we're in this space. Trump saying there are files. What is going to be the thing that truly blows the normies out of the water? And it's going to have to be some kind of biologicals, you know, like it's going to have to be something that will be beyond words to understand. And when that comes, it's going to be difficult for a lot of Christians to manage their scriptures and their theology around what it is that they're bringing forth. So, it is all intertwined and they're all working it really well. This agenda is so well crafted. I mean, it were decades and decades of time to get this exactly at the right moment when we as a church are weak and soft, you know? And so we have to just begin to push back and be ready for what's coming.
Yeah. And I think that last phrase you just said, weak and soft as a church, I think is, historically accurate as far as my life as an adult has been. I'd noticed it. I mean, maybe it's because I was in my early 20s when, you know, you're starting to think for yourself kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I did notice there was this like pansy movement in the American church. Is that the right words?
Metrosexuals, remember?
I saw you wince a little bit, like, but it's true. I mean, like, I the encouraging thing I think is that the younger generation, they've had it with the soft preachers. Mm-hmm. I can see it in them. They're hungry, and they're hungry for truth, and they want depth. And so I believe there is a turning that's happening in our culture as far as our faith goes. Mm-hmm. And I have high hopes in that department. But anyways, Trump then released a statement on Truth Social. So he has that video, and it always seems like videos when he's like, looks like he's like on a commercial plane getting ready to get off, and it's like, where are these reporters coming from? Like, because doesn't it always look like they're already on the plane and mm-hmm. he's trying to get off the plane? That's what it looks like mm-hmm. to me. I'm like, are they hiding in the back or something? Like, where are they coming from? They have that exchange, and he says that Obama released classified information, and you can say it forced his hand, or maybe it was all part of the plan, but he did release a truth statement. If Jack can pull that up on the screen, and Derek, if you could read that for the people who are listening.
Yep. Based on the tremendous interest shown, I will be directing the Secretary of War and the relevant department of and agencies. Can you make that bigger, Jack? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't read my fault.
I have really good eyes. My eyes are not that good. Yeah, that's the best. Thanks. To begin the process of identifying and releasing government files related to alien and extraterrestrial life, unidentified aerial phenomenon, UAP, and unidentified flying objects, UFOs, and any and all other information connected to these highly complex but extremely interesting and important matters. God bless America.
Yeah, so I mean, he's basically now getting to the point where... Jack's going to bring us up. There we are. Basically, he's now at the point where he has ordered for people to, for Pete Hegseth in the department to start collecting files to release to the public. There's no date in mind, but I would suggest it's probably going to happen pretty quickly.
I found it super interesting that, you know, they've changed all the vernacular in the last few years in the alien sphere to like NHIs and UAPs. And now what do they have doing? This is, again, part of that disclosure is you have Obama now using the word alien, right? That's an NHI, mm-hmm. right? That's already been disclosed last year that there are NHIs, but now he's using the term alien. And so like, and now Trump is saying UFO when it's always, and for the last few years, been UAP. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is, again, a stage of that disclosure, because what they're doing is piecemealing like the subconscious of us. We grew up with aliens and UFOs, right? But now they changed all the vernacular the last few years so that we would get confused and not understand exactly what the terminology is. And now they're bringing all that terminology back because this is part of the disclosure, so that the normies all of a sudden like, oh, they are talking about UFOs. They are talking about aliens. This is stuff that like grasps us in our mental space.
Yeah, I think that there's this merger between... So like you grow up with the idea of UFOs and aliens, and then in 2017, they start coming out talking about UAPs. Mm-hmm. And in the early days of the show, I would say things like, I'm not saying UAP, I'm saying UFO, because that's what it is. Like, it was just, they're literally changing the definition, mm-hmm. and they've even said so. They basically mean the same exact thing, but they wanted to not have the stigma, is mm-hmm. what they said. And so they've been hitting that for several years now. And now with Obama talking alien, mm-hmm. Trump saying UFO alongside in the statement with UAP. So he says unidentified aerial phenomenon, UAP, and unidentified flying objects. I feel like there's this marrying of the consciousness now. So like they spent the last nearly 10 years trying to get this disclosure ball rolling. And now that it's rolling and they're entering into a new phase, that's what it feels like. They're stepping into a new phase. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to take the people who have been preconditioned with UAP and those who have not paid attention to it, with UFO and marry the two worlds together, because I believe what's going to happen is there's going to be a global unification. I believe that what we're about to experience moving through this year will be the beginning stages of the development of a new world religion. And the, like Jack was saying about these things coming as the moral superior authorities, I think that that's what they're going to be propped up as. And I do believe in 2027, there will be manifestations. I believe that we're going to go through this year into next year with this snowball rolling and people talking about what this all means. And it's going to be done in a way where it, nobody's going to come out and say, welcome to the church of NHI. But it's going to be rolled out in a way where it's going to have a swelling ground game. And as time goes on, it's going to have this natural progression of this new religion development. And there will be people, big players that push that narrative, mm-hmm. that have been pushing the narrative. Do not find it coincidental that last year, Bledsoe was talking about Easter of 26.
That's right.
And now we're approaching Easter of 26 and all this is happening. You could say, oh, it's because the lady knew and foretold it to him. Or, well, there's a lot of ors actually. or that narrative is being utilized as a launching pad into 2026. Or there's commingling and working together. Like he's been on record saying that he's been visited by every three-letter agency. And so there's a lot of question marks there. I do not believe the lady's good. I do not side with the lady whatsoever. I am a staunch rebel on the lady. I don't me no likey.
Can we be the rebel forces? Is that what you're saying? I want to be the rebel forces. Can I call Han Solo, Jack?
we can be the rebel forces. I don't think we have much of a say. The real ones are going to have to be. And that's the whole point, though. The whole point of this, of us talking about this and pointing fingers at this topic, is for people to see that there are many different narratives at play here that are seemingly at times working against each other, but also working in conjunction with one another. And it seems to be, in my perspective, all gearing towards a spiritual awakening for humanity, where humanity will be able to ascend to the next evolutionary level, where we're free from our baggage of history with religion, and we can become one as a people, led by our, whatever you want to call them, beings that start popping up. I do believe, and I'm not ready to speak 100% on it because I have to do more reading, but I do believe that, next year. I believe this year and next year. I think that this year is going to be a lot of information releasing and spiritual development in the corporate human culture. I think next year is when, depending on how fast it takes, that's the thing. Like it, you just, like I said earlier, they have many different goals with one play that they do, and they have to see how it all plays out. Same with this. I think if everything goes as planned, there could be a rolling out of actual entities manifesting next year.
I think they're really priming us really well with like AI, quantum computing, like all these things. Because what are they promising? They're going to promising new technology. They're promising new elements. They're promising this, like it, they're going to break the rift between the spiritual realm and then the biological realm. And they're going to say, all of that you believe in can be proven through science, right? That feeling you get spiritually, that's going to be able to get proven through science. We know the frequency for it, and you can feel this euphoria too. You can have everything in your godly perspective, all those experiences, and then we're going to prove it through science. And I think that's what's really coming. This, they're going to give us sacred knowledge, just like going back to Adam and Eve, the things that we're not supposed to have, and they're going to push that narrative. And that's where your miracles are going to come, the healings and all the stuff that they're promising. That's what Bledsoe is promising, right? That he's been healed by these entities and all this. And it's all they're going to push it in the angle of technology. And that's where people will be deceived because you're analytically processing it and you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, like it's just like going to the doctor and I'm going to go get zapped and I'm going to get healed, right? But what we fail to understand, it is a long play for us to deny the deity of Christ.
Right.
And that's what they're after, ultimately.
And they're going to do it through different means, trickery. At some point, you're going to start hearing this idea that these could be even possibly angels. I mean, they're already saying it, but I think it's going to become very prevalent to sway as much of the Christian base that is not very theologically grounded. And I say theologically, I mean, that's the wrong word, but maybe what's the word I'm looking for? The Christian base that is 100% sold out for their faith, not the ones like that. I think those, the ones that are 100%, they're going to be the remnant. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a large chunk of people who just identify as Christian because their great, great grandfather did once, mm-hmm. you know, and those people, I think is what they're trying to pull in. And I think that the narrative that these are angels is going to be something that pops up on a very prevalent level.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, totally agree with that. And I think even to Derek's point of denying the deity of Christ, which is what the goal would be, it's coupled with all of the healings and things that people are going to see physically manifest in their own bodies, right? Like there's going to be, even now, there's, you know, manifestations of healings in people's bodies, things that have, you know, completely been miraculous for them. You know, that is all part of that deception to be to push people away, to completely remove, you know, anything that would be truly godlike about Jesus and his ministry on earth, and remove that from your mind, that there is no, Jesus was not special. He really was just a prophet, like Islam would say.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I had a thought and it's just gone. What do you have to say about
that? Yeah, so I was just thinking about like when you're saying about angels manifesting, like we've already seen that with Fatima, like Marzulli's like documentary on that. It completely exposes this false narrative that this female deity shows up in like a craft thing, right? And now you have the Catholics who've like made it like Our Lady Fatima. And so they're praising her in the realms of being pious and holy. And so we've already have the footwork in the structure for this to go even further, where like we're going to see these other entities show up and they're like, oh no, this is an angel. Oh, this is good. It's like we already see that. It's already happened and it's going to happen more.
Yeah. It's going to, because there's going to be a mingling of religion in this. Mm-hmm. There already is. And I've heard people say that these are, in fact, I heard this recently on an interview that I did. I talked to a guy a few weeks back and I don't agree with him at all. The conversation went off the rails. But he said to the, essentially, I can't remember exactly how he laid it out, but he essentially said that these things could be angels. And I'm like, okay. And the and never came. Never distinguished good angels to bad angels. Just said blanket statement angels. And you got to be careful with how you approach this topic and how you make just one blanket statement on it. And he took it even further and he suggested that these could be, in a sense, angels from another world. And he said this very long and drawn out. I'm really paraphrasing, so just kind of cutting to the chase. But he said that they could have heard about this Christian or this Jesus that was this savior. And they wanted a piece of that salvation. And I was like, no, I don't think so, you know? And, but that's the kind of, mental gymnastics that are going to start happening, mm-hmm. and they're going to keep digging on this and pulling more information out and putting more considerations on the table till the manipulation starts taking hold and effect. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's a very important for us to, in the middle of all this, this storm of disclosure, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. Everything that's going to be thrown at humanity over the next year or two, it's incredibly important for those who are actually faith-based in Christ to keep their eyes on Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I think I mentioned this earlier, but our pastor preached yesterday about Peter getting out of the boat and keeping his eyes on the Lord and be able to walk on water. Mm. And at one point he starts doubting, he falls into the water, and Christ came and pulled him out. Mm. We got to keep our eyes on Christ in this storm. We were actually reading here before we went live, and I think with the angel comment I just made is probably a good point to bring up. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "We also know that the Son," meaning God or Jesus, "did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham," which would be you and I, mm-hmm. and man. And so, "Therefore, it is necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God." There's going to be a lot of, and I feel, I wish, it's funny, Jack, because before we went live, you said the imagery we were using and even the video we made was more tongue-in-cheek fun. But we weren't talking about it like it was tongue-in-cheek fun. And I was like, I'll be fine. I'll lighten up. I haven't lightened up since we started.
No.
And so, I have a sense of heaviness, but also hope that there is good that's going to come out of this. And if it's nothing other than strengthening one's faith and real ones being defined, I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Here in my camp, we're not trying to look for other saviors. We're not trying to look for other beings in some far off world and galaxy that many highly intellectual people who are extremely smarter than me would say it's virtually impossible for them to even reach our planet. So unless maybe they're from Mars or something, you know, which there are structures on Mars, they say, pyramids and all that stuff. And that's the thing that we have to just understand is that the waters that we're treading are already muddy. It's been decades of conspiracy and extended thought on things that were being lied about. And now the government is entering into these waters. Before, they used to stay outside. They used to stay out of that pool. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't touch certain things. And now they're coming into the pool. And I think it's going to really throw people for a loop.
Yeah, it's just so important. And we say this, and, you know, it's true. We came off with some fun energy at the beginning, and now we're like so serious because our heart kind of, like, we're a little sad, I think, knowing all that we've been privy to understand from our meeting. It's a heavy responsibility, I think, that each one of you watching is going to have to burden with us and is beginning to share the truth to people so that we aren't deceived, yeah. and that those around us aren't deceived. You know, it's like there's good people in the church that I think will be deceived. And that's really sad. You know, like people sitting next to you in the pew, and they'll be like, wait, I'm confused. And like, that's the purpose of what we're going to try to do, is to alleviate and to help people not get to that point where they're confused and lost. Because, man, we don't want to see anyone get lost in this. I was just reminded in Genesis 2:7-2, the importance of who we are. And you know, that's when God made man from the dust and he breathed his life into man. And that's what differentiates us even from the angels. Like, we were chosen and we have a piece of his breath within us that's carried all the way to now. And it's just so beautiful that, like, because we are descendants of even Abraham, that that is what makes man so special. And so they're going to try to come in and break my theology of how important I am as a man, as a human being, that God, that I was made in God's image. And it's just a complete blasphemous statement against the word of God.
So in Matthew chapter 24, I've been looking at this chapter a lot recently. And it's all Jesus talking. And I don't really know exactly where to pick it up at here. But I'm just going to pick it up here on 24 verse 15. This is Jesus speaking. The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. The sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place. And then here in parentheses, it says, reader, pay attention. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return even to get a coat. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For there will be a greater anguish than at any time since the world began. And it will never be so great again. That right there, verse 21, really paints the gravity of the situation. I'll read it again. For there will be a greater anguish than at any time since the world began, and it will never be so, or be so great again. So it's like leading up to this point in time that he's prophesying about, there will never have been a greater anguish. Think about all the anguishes we've gone through in our culture, in our world, societies, just since we've been alive, not to mention before we were born. And he's saying up to that point, there will never have been seen something greater. And after that, there will never be something as great again. That's the direness. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive, but it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. That was verse 22. And that is something that I have been meditating on a lot recently, and just praying about and asking for clarity, because at some point in time, the time is going to come where he's going to have to shorten the period of time, or else even the elect could be deceived. Verse 23, then if anyone tells you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time. And, you know, it's a long chapter. It goes on. But that verse 24, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. That's exactly what we're talking about right now. It's exactly what we're talking about right now. The idea that you could be sitting in church next to somebody who falls to a deceptive practice, and that there, in the end times, there will be an explosion of false messiahs and false prophets. Well, what would be a false messiah? I mean, I think there's probably a lot that goes into that, but one definite thing a false messiah could be categorized as is somebody who is claiming to do miraculous signs and wonders under their own power and authority. And we are quickly approaching that time.
Yeah. To the point of what you're talking about with the deception in Matthew 24, Galatians 1, 6 through 8, Paul talks specifically to the point of angels or any other being coming and telling you a different good news or a different gospel, that's right? Good, yeah. So I'll read that real quick. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth and concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. It's just all, you know, leads you in the same direction.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, I guess the gist of this show and this episode of Slingshot Nation, the low energy Slingshot Nation. But even that, I mean, even soldiers on a battlefield have time of contemplation, mm-hmm. and they do come together to rehash and cover the battle plans and understand what the next move is. And that's, I feel like, what today is. You know, maybe next week somebody will fart out an alien and we can laugh at that. today it's more, we're seeing a lot right now. And when I say we, I mean us three and everybody that is watching and viewing on or listening on replay. We're seeing a lot in our culture, in our world, in our society. And there are some serious confusing days ahead. And that's why throughout this episode, I've been kind of hinting and bringing up this idea that we need to keep our eyes on Christ and what does that mean? And what is our move? Our move is what it always has been. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing that changes for us. Mm-hmm. It's to go and create disciples, to preach the gospel throughout all creation.
Right.
Matthew 16, verse 15, Jesus again is speaking, and he says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone.
That's Mark, right?
Did I say Matthew?
Yeah.
I meant Mark.
Yep.
Thank you. Derek's reading my Bible for me. He's like, wait a second. He's on
upside
Mark.
Down.
He's on Mark.
From feet away.
Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Hmm. But anyone who refuses to believe, will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes. Well, I want to handle a snake. Just kidding. I'm good. that's basically what we're supposed to be doing with this, right? Mm-hmm. It's to carry out the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this stuff can be distractions away from what we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we all have our own lives here. Like, we show up here and do our jobs, and, you know, people watching, they're at their jobs, and we all have our day jobs and work to do. But how are we living our lives in private? You know, when you go to a grocery store, how are you acting around other people? Are you looking for opportunities to be a blessing in somebody's life? Mm-hmm. And so this UAP stuff is going to get deep. It's going to get dark, and we're going to talk about it as it goes on. But, we absolutely need to keep the main focus, the main focus.
What a dummy. I just have one thing that I want to say, before, I don't know if you're wrapping up or not, but, there's a lot of, I noticed in the comments, and, you know, we've talked about this a lot throughout this entire conversation, discernment, keeping your eyes on Jesus, wisdom, all of these things. The way to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ is to read his word. It was from the beginning foretold how everything would play out. And we'd have no fear when we keep our eyes on Jesus. Like Tony said, like our pastor was preaching yesterday, the wind and the waves can come crashing around you as long as your eyes are fixed on Jesus. By reading his word, you are in communion with him every day. And in John 16, 31 through 33, Jesus says, Jesus asked, "Do you finally believe? But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you all this that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world." So everything that we talk about, how heavy it all is, the pain, whatever is going to come, whatever sorrow, whatever trials are going to be there, fixing your eyes on Jesus Christ, reading his word, being in communion, talking to him, praying to him, and listening to what he has to say to you. That's the discernment. That's the wisdom. And it'll come from that. You know, I know that this is a heavy subject, and Tony's quiet and Derek's quiet. But we just love you guys. Like, we love everybody that's watching. We love everybody that's listening, and we don't want any to perish. You know, just like Jesus's heart is that none should perish. That's exactly where our hearts are. You know, it's been implored to us that this topic is as sensitive as what it is because of how heavy the burden is, you know, that any should perish. We don't want anybody to be deceived. So read your Bible. That's where your eyes should be fixed. And amen. Have joy in that. You know, awesome. Jesus is joy. Like, he is love. He is joy. He is light. Like, that is where we should be. You know, we can sense and understand all of the pain and the sorrow, but man, like, there's joy regardless of all of that. Jesus paid it all for us. And that's where we need to be, you know, living and keeping our hearts at.
Amen. Good.
Derek.
Yeah. Just reminding that when you were talking about like false prophets, you know, to me, it's the Antichrist, but we always think of anti as something that's going to be very obviously opposed to Christ. In the Greek, it actually means in place of. So I think that's where the deception comes in. It's going to be very sneaky to be in place of Christ if we're not careful, if we're not testing all things right through his spirit, if we're not reading our word and comparing everything to scripture. So we want to be very mindful, very, very purposeful when we go through these next months, weeks, to read our Bible, to understand what the word really says about things, because it's going to be there to deceive us.
Yeah. So I think we're going to bring it in for a landing. I will say this, what Jack was saying, Book of John, very first chapter, plainly states that Jesus is the word. And so if you want to keep your eyes fixed on Christ, that's where scriptures come in play, because he is the word and he was there at the beginning.
We have the gospel track on the Confessionals podcast webpage too, right?
Yeah, the confessionalspodcast.com/gospel.
So I wanted to just bring up one thing here off topic, but what happened yesterday in Mexico is something that we need to just keep in mind moving forward. And it kind of does play into a lot of this stuff, because there's a lot of distraction going on right now. And the fact that it seems like Mexico has fallen in the last 24 hours, and that's right on the other side of the border. As much as you want to stay diligent and on guard with what's going into your mind and how you view the things that are happening around you when it comes to UAPs and deception and all that stuff, be diligent, be very diligent when you're out and about in the world. It is not as safe as the facade says it is. And as we go through this year and next year with all the UAP stuff, all the disclosure stuff, there's also the physical, quote unquote, real world stuff that you have to contend with as well. And so part of this is designed to hit you from many different angles, mm-hmm. to weaken your consciousness, that's to good. Weaken your decision-making. Mm-hmm. And I would highly suggest people start, if they haven't started yet, I would suggest prep. I'm a prepper. I have not hidden that throughout the show's history. I have
lots of buckets of food. but I highly encourage people to get involved with that concept. And it only makes sense. Like, say the cartel doesn't come here and bother you. There very well could be a situation like the people in Asheville a few weeks ago had a once in a lifetime ice storm. Right. And we were just out there last week and they were still without, certain areas were still without power and still without internet. Mm-hmm. And so like, you just don't know. So make sure you're preparing. If you ever have to use it, best case scenario, it's just a natural thing that happened. Worst case scenario, supply chains get cut off and you need to make sure you can take care of you and your family. And another thing that we were told in these meetings is that there's about 2 to 2.5 million foreign soldiers on our U.S. soil right now waiting for deployment. And so you've heard of sleeper cells and things like that when it comes to terrorist organizations. I don't know if that number includes those, but there are foreign actors on soil waiting for deployment. And that's not to mention what's happening in Mexico with the cartel seemingly taking over Mexico in a sense. I had seen some reports saying that they were taking American hostages. They were going into resorts. They were going to airports with armed men. Complete chaos down there. I assume it's still going on. And so be vigilant and be on alert as you're walking out and about in America, because you might be from a small town, but that's also a great place for people to hide too. So we've seen that a lot. So anyways, happy Monday, everybody. I hope you just, you know, are so excited for everything that I talked about today in my extremely lethargic nature. But I guess I have a very hard time hiding my emotions and I don't really do good with that. So when I'm feeling a certain way, usually people know it, which is a good thing, because when I'm happy and you know, jolly, you know, it's authentic. Today I have a very heavy heart, and not in a negative sense, just in a, I've said several times in the show, you know, I tend to be like a futurist. I read tea leaves and I try to see what's coming, and I do that. And then when you pair that with information that came in over the last couple of weeks to me, it just kind of put me in this like, whoa state. It's, mm-hmm. It's getting real. It's no longer just theorizing. It's not just openly pontificating on a podcast. There's real world things playing out, and there's a lot of players involved, and the players involved that are not my friend are not friendly with each other. There's a lot of things moving here, and so we just got to stay diligent and focus on what we can control, which is our relationship with Jesus Christ, and that will be your compass in this storm. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. We will see you next week. Tomorrow for the Tuesday show, we are bringing back Pastor Troy Brewer and his son, Ben, for a fantastic conversation. Jack, do you recall how long that conversation was? Probably, what, 2 hours?
Yeah, it's a little over 2 hours.
A little over 2 hours. Heater. We started out, I believe, with Pastor Troy's son, Ben, sharing with us his first trip to India and all the chaos that and spiritual warfare that unfolded, starting with Ben getting lost in India, getting picked up by a priest, taken to a temple to then be actually the sacrifice, not witness a sacrifice, but to be the sacrifice. Not to even participate in the sacrifice, to be the sacrifice. And he lays out how all that kind of unfolded. So that's tomorrow. I hope you guys enjoy it. And we'll see you next week for Slingshot Nation. And hopefully we're happier. Hopefully we are more jolly. So get us out of here, Jack.
Oh, boy. Is that Slingshot?
Yeah, yeah, man. Slingshot season. Hey, let's run it.
Grace hit me like, boom, can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad gon' win, devil try to throw shade, I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been, whoa.
walk in the spotlight, who that? Standing in the slang and the true slap. Never in the way we move that. I'm a name for the hit like a durag. I was stuck in the valley that view bad. Now I'm up in the hills with a food bag. God took all my L's, ran through that. Now the wind stack high like a new stack. Every step with the light, that's a blueprint. Whole pack getting bright cause he doing it. He the king so the crown got a new fit. And the cross hit harder than a new clip. We ain't here just to buy this a movement. Every giant in the way he'll move it. If the world wanna hate, we cool with it. Cause the love is strong with the truth.
Can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad going. Devil try to throw shade. I grant, cause the light too bright where I've been.
I've been down in the dirt, now I'm cleaned up. Blood bought brand new, never dreamed up. Every thrown out of stone, trying to team up. Got 50,000 standing here, feeling beamed up. I remember them nights in the struggle. Feeling way down deep by the trouble. But he showed up strong, bro, the muzzle. Now the fate built big like a double. We ain't here for the fame or the flesh. We just point to the king, let him flash. Living water in the cup, no cap in the well. Don't run dry, that's that facts. Now we running on a path with a show step. Every loss is a setup for the best yet. Every giant in my face is a test bed. God swing once,
it's yeah,
swing
like boom. Can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad gone win. Devil try to throw shade. I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been. Grace hit me like, ooh, ooh. Can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad gone win. Devil try to throw shade. I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply. Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Awake? Debatable. Hungry? Absolutely. Your morning routine consisted of scrambling to find your phone, wallet, and keys, and you're already out the door. Slide into 7-Eleven and grab a breakfast bundle. Grab any breakfast sandwich, like our delicious sausage, egg, and cheese waffle sandwich, waffle tots, and a Monster, Celsius, or Red Bull to jumpstart your day. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $4 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores, see app for.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teals Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teals, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teals. Yep. You needed that.